This is Guildcast, episode 39, for July 31st, 2006. When night falls, I just want to rise. When night falls, I want to dance among you moons and baby. Everyone, welcome back to Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean. The Chapter 3 PvP preview weekend has just ended, so this show will be mostly about that, with some other news thrown in for some good measure. We recorded this show on Skype with Lady Sanea, Solero, and I on Sunday night, giving us a little bit of time to play through the share of the new content. So I'll be playing that conversation a little bit later, but first I wanted to discuss some other news. I had a few people who asked to be mentioned this time around. They include Dane of Lightning, Matthew I, Fergus the Ostler, and Cassius Hawk Tamer. Also, I got an email from someone who has just set up a Guild Wars comic that I wanted to talk about for a second. I know he's had some of his work on Game Amp before, but I didn't read this email during our Skype conversation because it's not really, discussable. But basically what it is this guy Alan started taking these screenshots in the game and adding humorous captions here and there to make a comic, kind of like a graphic novel style comic book. He has 7 comics out now, and it looks like lately he's been doing about one a day. So you can check that out at gwcomic.warwizard.net if you get a chance. Also, if you haven't been by the main guildcast.com website this week, stop by and check out the brand new layout. It's best viewed on something like Firefox or Safari, basically anything but Internet Explorer 6 or lower, so keep that in mind too. I've added some new small features here and there, including a video gallery, and I've expanded on the merchandise page. Now, when you click on merchandise, it gives you the option of 2 separate stores. One is the Cafe Press store that I mentioned last week, and then the new one is through a company called Spreadshirt.com. I'd say that Cafe Press is good if you just want a basic Guildcast shirt, something on light-colored material, like a white shirt or tan, nothing really too fancy. But the Spreadshirt shop can be considered like, the Marhan's Grotto of Guildcast stores. I set this one up to give people the option to have more of like a funky variety, with more t-shirt color choices and fancy printing, with things like glitter ink or glow-in-the-dark ink. But, of course, you can expect to pay more for these. And also, if you see a design that you like, but maybe you want it in a different color, or if you want it on a different colored t-shirt, then let me know, and I may be able to accommodate. That's one of the coolest things about these on-demand shops like this, is you can customize these shirts to your heart's content, for even just like 1 or 2 shirts. And like I mentioned before, if you look at the prices on some of these and think, wow, Sean is making a killing on these. I'm not really making a dime on these. I made these up to spread the word about Guildcast, mostly. And, of course, I really, really want a page dedicated to the pictures of the listeners of Guildcast in their Guildcast shirts, kind of like Dignation has. So hopefully I can get that set up someday when I get some more shirts sold and people send in their pictures themselves with the shirts on. I know I'm going to be buying a shirt myself pretty soon, which might sound funny, but I'll probably do that and take a picture of myself in that. And I talk about it a bit during the Skype conversation that we had, but as a formal introduction, I wanted to announce that we have a new PvP person now. Our previous PvP person, Slaughter, has decided to graciously step down. He's been busy with school and other things like that, and I completely understand, believe me. So in his place will be Wild Prince Solero, who we've heard before on the Ranger episode a few shows back. He'll be contributing his own PvP segment on Guildcast in an upcoming show. And if you ever hear something he talks about that you'd like to comment on, or if you just want to reach him in general about things PvP related, you can do so either on the Guildcast forums in his board, which is called Solero's PvP Corner, or you can email him at solero@guildcast.com. That's CILERO@guildcast.com. I also made a new video this week, if you'd like to check that out. There's a link to it on the video gallery page at guildcast.com. It contains some faction spoilers, so if you haven't beat factions yet and you don't want to know how it ends, or you can't guess how it ends, then maybe you might want to hold off on this video. I also got a voicemail earlier this week from Horrible on the forums, and he gives us his take on the reason Guild Wars subscription rates aren't usually compared to those of the top MMOs.
Hey Sean, this is Horrible from the forums. I haven't been posting lately, sorry about that, but I've been busy. But I have been listening to your podcast, and you asked for reasons why Guild Wars may not be listed in the top MMORPGs or RPGs alone, and I believe that it's not listed because you can't really judge how many real active users there are, because things like no monthly fee, they can't cancel your account if you haven't been on in, you know, 3 months or a month, or however much you pay by, like in World of Warcraft, you pay, I don't know, I think it's $15 a month, and if you don't pay it, your account gets wiped. So I don't think they can really judge how many real people are on. Keep up the good work, and hope to hear from you soon.
So now on to the updates of the last week. Of course, there was the introduction of the Nightfall PvP preview event, but in addition to that, we had some other pretty major updates. On Thursday, July 27th, they updated the list of available PvP character templates to include the templates designed by the Esoteric Warriors Guild. They added key bindings for the following game functions: drop item, follow, suppress action, zoom in, and zoom out. They modified cinematics so that minions no longer decay and mission time no longer elapses when cinematics are playing. Now this is huge. Now that means no more dying minions while 7 out of 8 people skip the cutscene and, you know, the minion master is screaming at his monitor about how much he hates noobs. They also updated the trade dialogue to reduce the likelihood of a common scam. The trade dialogue now displays a message whenever the trade offer is modified. They added a secondary profession changer to the Great Temple of Balthazar. This one charges 500 gold just like the one in Senji's Corner. They added a championship trophy to the Great Temple of Balthazar, right in the middle there. They moved the positions of the Xunlei agents in the Great Temple of Balthazar. They updated the appearance of the guild roster. Invitations are now issued from within the invitee and guest lists, and the number of online and total members is also displayed for each guild rank. And I like that a lot. You don't have to, when people ask me how many people are in my guild, I don't have to sit there and try to count. It actually tells right after, like it'll say members, and then it'll tell how many are connected out of how many total, which is, that's a pretty good new feature. They updated the appearance of the options dialogue. Option settings are now divided into tabbed categories. They updated the art used for health bars. This is a, it kind of reminds me of the Skittles commercials, you know, Taste the Rainbow. I like these, although I've heard plenty of negative opinions on them. But me personally, I seem to like any kind of new effects in the game, and this is one of them. And finally, they added a new effect that desaturates your screen when your character is dead. And this is kind of cool, although games have been doing this forever. I think one of the earliest I can remember is probably GoldenEye, but I'm sure it's been done before that. And then they did some skill updates with Arcane Mimicry. They added a restriction so that it cannot be used on Elite Dervish form skills. And then on Consume Soul, they updated it to match its description. The caster must target and touch a spirit. Then they had temporary skill balance changes that are only in effect during the Nightfall PvP preview event, which is now over, so these aren't really in effect anymore. But what they did was they, like Balthazar's Aura, they reduced duration to 8 seconds. Divine Boon, they increased recharge time to 10 seconds. Zealot's Fire, they increased the recharge time to 45 seconds. And they increased the earshot range to the radius of the danger zone, which is the inner white circle on the mini-map radar. And also they had some undocumented changes that include the fact that now pets can get DP in PvE as well as PvP. Now you may remember a few weeks ago I mentioned about the PvP pets getting DP, but now they do it in PvE. And this is something that they say that they'll change back, though. So we may want to keep an eye on that. And then on Friday, July 28th, they updated the store so that Europeans no longer need to enter a state, which only makes sense. This store, actually, they brought it live earlier last week, and then they had some bugs, so they had to bring it back down. And then they brought it back Friday, or maybe it was Thursday, one of those days. And actually, I think it was Thursday night. And then they had problems again, or at least I was having problems with it. It wouldn't work. It said that there was an error. And I tried it again on Friday, and I tried it again on Saturday, and it still wasn't working. But then Sunday, it was working. And you can actually buy character slots now. So that's some pretty big news. And then also on Friday, they reduced the restrictiveness of the excessive messaging filter for party chat, guild chat, and whispers. I think that was something that only started from the update on Thursday, and I think they basically went back and fixed it again. And then finally, they updated the appearance of party member health bars so that they no longer overlap. So we're going to do the PvP, the Nightfall PvP preview show, and we have Lady Sinea.
Hi, guys.
And we have Solero with us once again.
Hey.
And we're recording live from the Guildcast studio in Seattle, Washington.
Yep, right next to Gail Gray's office.
Yep, right down the hall.
But I wanted to say also that I haven't had a chance to announce it yet, but Solero is now the PvP contributor. After I announced it in the forums last week, but Slaughter stepped down, said he had a lot of things going on in real life, you know, that were keeping him too busy with school and everything. So he stepped down, and Solero is now taken over. So I'm sure everybody can welcome you to that.
Yeah, I pretty much have no life, so.
Well, I don't either, so.
Don't have to worry about that. I think it's also kind of funny in the board. I actually posted something about it. If anybody has the chance to look, there is the whole post where Sean announces Slaughter, and it's still there, and nobody but me so far has made the recognition that there's a changeover. I edited Sean's post, and I just kind of put down at the bottom, and I made a final post on it. Thought it was kind of just funny to reread over after all that's happened, but glad to be here and hope I can do something a little more.
Yeah, it'll be nice to get that in there because a lot of people have been asking about it, and you know, there's a lot of people that play just specifically PvP, and a lot of them listen to Guildcast, and a lot of them want to know more about it. And not only that, a lot of people want to get into PvP, but they're kind of afraid to get into it, just jump right into it. And it'd be nice to have some kind of way for them to know, you know, what to expect before they jump into it.
Oh, right. Definitely. And I hope to talk about more of the basics in the later show, in the later date, and maybe a little bit here. But I would like to actually set up a couple of things between the listeners to kind of help out those people who haven't maybe played as much PvP in, say, Heroes Ascent or something. And maybe just get big groups together and kind of just make a jump for it, see if we can't do something. It'd be kind of fun to just do that, have everybody come in, and it'd be a lot friendlier of an environment than most pickup groups, maybe. So, hopefully we can do that later on.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I'd go for that.
So, we got this Nightfall preview, PvP preview event. I can't even say it. And, so have you guys had a chance to play a lot of it?
Been having a lot of fun with it, actually.
Yeah.
I played on Thursday night, because the event started early. It was supposed to start at midnight, but we're playing for a few hours before then.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Like, I was on, and I got this huge update, and me and a bunch of my friends were just talking on TeamSpeak, just shooting the breeze while we were doing whatever. And we all signed off at about the same time, and a couple of my friends have a faster internet connection than some of us. And they got in, they checked the PvP, and everybody started flipping out at, like, the Paragorn and the Dervish and all that, and all the new stuff they had added. So it was really fun in that aspect. We just kind of had a ball with it.
Yeah, I saw that everybody had different character names, so I just assumed and checked it out. And yep, there they were, the new classes.
Yep.
Did you guys both get a chance to play with both new classes?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, a lot.
Do you have any favorites?
I personally am looking forward to the Paragorn a lot. Like, that's definitely going to be the one I start in PV as a level one. Like, to me, they're the most interesting out of all the classes, next to the Ranger, of course, but we all know about that, so.
The Paragon had some really cool shouts that made your party members more powerful, and I think it would be a really good secondary.
See, I also like, because of all those shouts and chants and all that, and those echoes, it offers a lot more in the way of strategy within the build. So you could take it into like a team and be very useful, which is going to be surprising to see how they're implemented into maybe current builds and how they're used in new builds after Nightfall comes out, because you can do so much as far as buffing people and helping people out in the battlefield as far as the Paragorn goes, that it's really going to help out a lot of the balance builds, probably really push past maybe the blood spikes in Heroes of Sin, or even the farm groups could use the shouts to a big advantage. So it's going to be interesting.
Right. I don't know if you would need a primary character, a class who's a primary Paragon, but I know for sure it'll probably be incorporated in a lot of current builds as secondaries.
Yeah.
One thing I noticed about the Paragon is it seems like the shouts and most of the skills are really low energy but high recharge time.
Yeah, and some of them even use adrenaline.
So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of maybe warrior Paragons or Paragon warriors.
That was even one of the pre-made builds, was a Paragon warrior using, I think, Victory is Mine.
Yeah,
I think something like that. And a couple other skills.
I know it's going to be, we're going to see, at least at first, we're going to see a lot of Paragons that are just going to run forward in battle. And think that the Paragon is a main melee class. But that's not really the case at all.
Yeah, I'm afraid of what I've dubbed the Assassin Syndrome, where they think just because they can shout and run and they look like a big commander in battle, they can just run in and start shouting, and it's really not going to work. It's really going to take some thought behind it for a Paragorn to
Be able to do that. Well, their primary attribute is leadership. You gain one energy for each ally affected by one of your shouts or chants. So you'll want to be close to your allies when you do your shouts, but that doesn't mean that you're going to be close to the enemies necessarily.
Well, I think that's why, you know, some of the shouts that they have are within earshot, which is that new range that they just introduced. I think they introduced that just for the sake of the Paragon, because so they don't, you know, within earshot is not really that close. You can still be pretty far away. Not, you know, within reason, I mean. I think you don't really need to be, like, within the group of attacking melee fighters, you know, and it'll still work.
I've also seen a lot of Dervish monks in Heroes Ascent, actually. Like, a couple of my friends were watching the builds and saying that they were just demolishing a lot of teams. And I guess it's because they're so high damage, and they can affect so many people.
Yeah. And a couple of my guildies were going for Dervish Warriors. I have one he's basically perfected his Dervish Warrior build for Alliance Battles already.
Huh. I'll probably, once, you know, Nightfall comes out, I'll probably make a Dervish first. I think originally I was more excited about the Paragon, but playing both of them, I really like the Dervish, even though I realize there's going to be a million dervishes probably, you know, when they first come out. It might be, again, like that Assassin Syndrome. But I really like some of the spells that they have, or the skills that they have. But what I am absolutely in love with are those elite avatars. Those are amazing. Have you seen all the pictures of all those?
Yeah. I've seen some of them. I haven't seen all of them yet, but
I just wish they could have our characters look like those avatars. I
mean, you know, you transform into look like something else, and it'll give you something like some extra armor, different things. Maybe some extra elemental resistance.
Those are really cool, in my opinion. Well, maybe when you're not transformed, you could have, like, little signets on the side, like, showing which avatar you're using and whatnot would be kind of cool.
Like, the armors and everything are just so much, I don't know, they're so much better than just the regular armors we have in the game.
She's got, like, a bird on her head, though.
Which one?
Which one did you say? Balthazar or Edwina?
Oh, yeah, I said Balthazar.
Oh, well, Duena, she looks like she's got this bird on her head.
Yeah.
And Balthazar looks like, I don't know, he looks like an enemy rather than a character that you're playing.
He looks pretty intense.
No doubt about that.
The Lyssa one kind of freaks me out with the multiple faces, but...
She's supposed to be like that, though.
Yeah, I was going to say that's kind of the god story behind her, is all those faces.
Grenth, I think, could look a lot scarier. He's lacking a little bit. He just looks like some bum or something.
Yeah,
that's what I thought. They had Lyssa. Lyssa's looking kind of weird and deformed, and then Grenth didn't look as deformed as he should have, in my opinion, but...
He could have been a lot darker.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
So how about you, Sean? What class did you like? You like the Dervish?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really... I think it was like with the Factions PvP preview, where I didn't really get into it that much, because I'm not into PvP, you know, and, it's kind of the same token, you know, I played both of these a little bit, I messed around with spells, I didn't unlock anything, though. I was going to, but I'm undecided on which account I want to make new characters on once Nightfall comes, so that's why I didn't really unlock anything. So I've dabbled with them a little bit here and there, but I think the Dervish maybe took priority. I probably spent a little bit more time on the Dervish.
See, I was the exact opposite. I definitely went with the Paragorn. I don't know what it was. It was something about the mix of shouts and the spear attacks that just was so much fun to play. Like, you could do so many things. And just kind of being in the background, but still being able to turn tides, especially in Alliance Battle. I played tons of Alliance Battles with my Paragorn, and it was a lot of fun. I guess it's just that range thing I have. About everything.
Yeah, I played the Paragon first, and then I played the Dervish, and then I went back to the Paragon, played them for a little while. I mean, I liked them. I liked the low-cost spells, and it seemed like they were really powerful skills, you know. The shouts were really nice. But
yeah.
Then I went back to the Dervish, and I don't know, I really liked a lot of the spells and skills that they had, too. So I'm really kind of undecided, I guess.
What still remains to be seen, I haven't tested it yet, because there's no real solid good way to test it, but if the Paragorn shouts affect everybody in the Alliance battle, if they're within earshot, or if they just affect your four-man team.
It'll probably be, like, if there's a team of eight around you, it'll probably be anybody there that's within earshot of your allies.
That's what I was hoping, but I don't know, I want to be able to test that effectiveness. That should be fun.
Yeah, that's where the Paragon would really shine, is stuff like that. And, like, down in the deep, where there's giant groups, you know, that would come in really handy.
Yeah, because he starts to turn into even more of a commander, even more of his story namesake. That, like, angel in the battlefield just doing so much.
And I didn't get that. Do you guys think that this guy looks like an angel?
Well, the white kind of preludes to it, but I think a lot of that, like how they're saying angel wings on his armor and stuff, what me and my guildies were throwing about was, what if on the fissure armor he had actual, like, wings, like folded wings on his back for, like,
well, maybe,
the fissure chest piece or something?
I mean, I think he looks like a Roman gladiator.
Yeah, he does. Like a centurion.
In, like, fancy armor that, you know, he actually has never been in battle because he's not dirty.
He's just so holy that the dirt just repels off him.
Yeah, that's probably it.
And the female looks like an elementalist, except for she's got freaky eyes.
Yeah, she does. The way that the armors look when you first start out, you know, how they're pretty plain, there's not a lot of detail here and there, and the way they progress from basic armor to 15k or FOW armor. I'm really excited about seeing you know, the 15K versions and everything, and the FOW versions of these armors. Because I think they do a good job of making you want to get away from those basic armors, you know? The basic armors are so bad.
Not yeah, really. I mean, there's some good basic armors in factions.
Yeah, but when you get in, at least what I've seen, when you get into the 1.5 and the 15K, for some reason, to me, it seems like the pixel count goes way up, and the armors are just that much sharper. Like, my friend has the 1.5 that looks like the old Ascalonian armor, whatever you call it, from Post-Seer Ascalon City, and it's pretty plain. It's just the brown and whatever, but it looks crisper when it's the 1.5. It looks like the pixels are a lot smaller, and it just looks cleaner, in my opinion, the higher you go.
I suppose, but you know, I mean, I got new armors for my monk, and, you know, I finally, you know, got rid of my my old 15K set that I had for a long time, and I'm wearing, I have two sets of 1.5 on her, and then, like, you know, my Mesmer has Drox armor, and it's just like, some of them aren't. There's plenty that are, you know, quite suitable for looks and everything. And frankly, I can't say that I liked the 15K better, because I just didn't.
It happens sometimes that way.
No, yeah, I agree. There's some of them that weren't that great. So what else did you guys do this weekend with the event and everything?
Got some flame water.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm kind of... I figure I'm not taking enough time in as I could be for, like, the experience titles and whatnot. So I figure the drunkard title is pretty well within my reach. I just need the money for it. So I just got some flame water and was messing around with people in the Temple of Balthazar. It was kind of funny.
I did some alliance battles as usual. The only difference was my guildies brought dervishes instead of their warriors and stuff. But
the dervishes work well in alliance battles because of if you get those huge mobs and you have like two dervishes just going and hacking away, the damage gets pretty high pretty quick.
Yeah, the first time I tried out the Paragon was in an alliance battle. Actually with you, Lady Sinea, in that first morning.
Oh, on Friday morning, Thursday evening?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was probably sleeping. Because I played until like 3.
See, that's the difference. I hadn't gone to bed yet, and then Sean was like leaving. He's like, oh, I have to go to work now.
Yeah, that's how she knows it's time to go to bed when I wake up.
Uh-huh. He's like my alarm clock. He signs on. Oh, Sean's on. I better go to bed.
I still want to know. The scythe skins, for me, are going to be the weirdest thing when Nightfall comes out. Because I was thinking about it when I was rolling my dervish, and I was just looking at the scythe skills, and I was like, what are they going to do to make a scythe look really, really different? Like, swords, they have a lot of room to mess with a sword blade, a sword hilt. They have the whole bow to mess with. They have a whole staff or a cane or whatever. But a scythe doesn't leave you much breathing room. There's a rod and then there's the sickle on the end. I wonder how they're going to improve upon that. It's going to be fun to see.
Yeah, that's true. Although they did surprise me with, like, the daggers, you know. What can you possibly do with daggers? Well, I think they did a great job with the skins on the daggers.
I know, that was fun to see, like, I saw some of those in, like, the hand daggers and the curve ones and Shakira's pincers, and it was cool to see all of that.
Well, the scythes, I'm sure they could put, like, huge serrated blades on them and things like that.
Yeah, that would be cool, actually. If you look, in random arenas, I don't know how much you guys play random arenas, but probably not often, but it's insane. There's actually two of the areas from Nightfall inside the random arenas.
Oh yeah, I saw pictures of those.
Yeah, I was going through and I was like, what is this? Like, I was like, I've never been in this area before. I was on TeamSpeak and he was like, what? I was like, there's a different area in random arenas. I don't get it. And I was looking around and I was so lost. I got slaughtered because I couldn't find my way around. It was weird. It was kind of fun just being able to see how the land's going to be, and it's really cool.
Yeah, it looks really deserty.
But what surprised me that they actually did was the trophy. that kind of blew me out of the water. I was like, wow, that's kind of weird. But it's cool in the same respect.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is... It's a nice homage to that whole thing.
Without a doubt. Like, there's a whole new thing for PvP players to strive for, is that having that trophy in the middle of the Temple of Balthazar.
Yeah, I've heard... I know... I've read a lot of times when people say, you know, PvEers complain that there's not enough attention to PvE, and PvPers are just the opposite. Well, I think they really go out of their way to make sure that there's enough for each side. Like, and this is a good example for the PvP side, where they do so much, especially with these championships, you know, where you can, these world championships, you can win $100,000 and, you know, you go to all over the world to compete and everything. I think that's, you don't really see that in too many other games, you know?
No. There's a lot of stuff that they do that, especially for PvP, that just strikes me as something that is really different from ArenaNet as opposed to the other companies, because they put a lot of emphasis on both. Because to really be good at PvP when you first start PvP, a really good background in PvE is pretty much necessary, in my opinion. To where, if you don't do a lot of PvE, you're kind of missing out on maybe little quirks of what your character really is. And it could really change how you look at PvP that way. But in the same aspect, it's like they're really incorporating PvP into PvE as well, because if you notice in factions, they try to incorporate the challenge missions, and some of the missions actually for the story you are facing other people in the Luxans or the Kozriks or this and that. And it was really cool to see how they worked that in, and that made me really happy, because I was going through and I actually got to face people during the storyline. It made me smile a little bit and nod back at ArenaNet, like, all right, you're giving yours up to us. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's like they're trying to integrate PvP and PvE more and not let it be so separated like it is in a lot of other games. Mm-hmm. That's good.
That's really what I like about Guild Wars a lot, is they really, from the get-go, have tried to really make the PvP a part of the overall story with, say, the Hall of Heroes, and the story behind why you go into the Hall of Heroes, or, say, Alliance battles, and the gods when you win Heroes Ascent, or whatever. It just really integrates itself well into the story, in my opinion.
You actually don't mind the challenge missions, where you do end up fighting some of the other players a little bit, but there's still obvious, like, PvE type of objectives, you know, like Fort Aspenwood.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if they're going to change the gameplay as much in Chapter 3 as they did in Chapter 2, because they really changed it a lot in Chapter 2 as far as alliance battles and things like that. It just makes you wonder if they're going to do that much more in Chapter 3.
Yeah, I heard there was, like, a lot of things that could be happening potentially that could even change the face of it just as much as factions did. At least that's what Gale Gray was alluding to Wednesday.
What do you mean?
He just said that a lot of the problems people had with factions, it being too short, it being too close together, and the challenge missions kind of being a little bit integrated, but still kind of separate, because you go into them, and there'd be a whole separate set of rules. It would look like a separate area. It just had that sort of whole feel in it. Like, it really seemed like they were trying to push for even more unity within the game of the two things and trying to kind of connect them. At least that's what it seemed like he was saying to me. Kind of alluded to Chapter 4 a little bit. Kind of joked around about it, which made me laugh.
Well, see, I don't mind you go into a mission and you know that's where you may encounter other players who's going to try to kill you. I mean, I like it that you can't just, you know, you go out and you're farming and somebody can randomly come by and PK you. You know, I like that delineation.
Yeah, that's a big big difference between this and World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
Really sets Guild Wars apart.
I really don't know how you can play World of Warcraft and not be scared of something like that, but maybe that's just me. I don't want my guy just dying like that. So
did you guys get a chance to check out that new store?
I did, yeah.
Yeah. It's just got the two games in it and character slots. So that is news. You can buy character slots now.
I know I tried it on Friday, I think it was. It didn't work, and then I tried it on Saturday, and it acted like it was going to work, but it said there was an error, whatever. And then I tried it again today earlier, and it worked finally. But do you think you guys are going to purchase new slots right away, or at all?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Officially having a second level 20 since the last I've talked to you guys, I've actually don't have a need, because as long as I have at least one slot open for a PvP character, and having a couple to maybe farm some extra money to put towards my guild or put towards new weapons for my ranger or my warrior, or do that, I pretty much am good as far as slots go.
You know, frankly, I see none of these new character classes replacing or being better than any of my current characters, so I don't have any need to make any new characters.
See, I probably won't purchase any either, and like Drew, you were saying that, you know, you won't, you don't really have a need to, and I guess I didn't even think about that because you're mainly PvP. I guess you don't really need a ton of slots, but I probably won't buy any because I have like three or four. I have four left on my other account. And then hopefully they're going to give us two more.
Like, even when you buy it and you get the new continent, you get two new character slots. And I mean, Sinead was saying to replace any of her characters, well, that wouldn't really be necessary because there'd be two new slots waiting for the two new classes if you so choose.
Hopefully, if they do that. Have they promised that they're going to do that with each new chapter?
No, but it would make viable sense that they would, if they keep releasing two new professions.
It would also make sense from a financial point of view to not give that many character slots, because then that would force you to buy extra ones if you want to make all the new classes.
That's true, too.
And, you know, a lot of people ask, how does ArenaNet make their money with no subscription rates? And I think we're starting to see now how they potentially can, especially if, you know, like on the forums, they're talking about what else they could sell in that store, and people are speculating on weapon skins or, you know, they're making a lot of suggestions like that, and if they start selling things like that, it'll be like the cell phone ringtones, you know. People didn't really think that would take off as big as it did, but I think if they started selling skins and things like that, which I don't think they would, but if they did, I think it would be a hit, and they would make a lot of money.
They would make a lot of money on that, but see, the thing is, then you're buying... Okay, so it's not like you're buying, like, new special skills or anything. It's just a skin, but that means that you can't, you know, you couldn't farm for it in the game. It's just like, how cool you are was just based on how much money you paid them.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say.
I don't think that's a direction they want to go in.
Yeah, and that's why I say I don't think they're going to do that.
That would just ruin a lot, like, making that, because it would kind of break down that third wall of the game where it's like, okay, so you can get an in-game item by buying it offline. It's kind of like, okay, you can affect the world. It's kind of like eBaying money, pretty much.
Yeah, and that would just go against everything that they already banned other accounts for, so.
I don't know. They could potentially sell, like, the skill pins. They could do that through the store and do items like that and make money that way.
Oh, you mean, like, real merchandise?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're talking more about not selling real merchandise, though. They're talking more just in-game stuff for the store itself.
They being who?
Well, Gail Gray, she was saying that. There was a thread where she was saying that they would like to do that kind of thing where, actually, I think she joked about selling, like, char plushies or something like that. And
I would buy one.
But they're not actually going to do that. I bet they're going to do more mini pets. They'll probably do where you can buy things like that, you know, like little add-ons that don't really do anything but are just kind of cool, you know, collectible in-game things.
Well, see, I would want all that stuff, but I'm not sure I would pay money for it.
Yeah. And besides, when that happens, like, I've seen it in a couple other games. I've played Silk Road a little bit, and people will buy stuff from the site, like, the money items, because they do that same thing. They sell pets, and they sell different sort of weapons and stuff, and people will sell them for just a ton of money in-game and buy the same sort of thing, just cheaper, and then have a ton of money to buy tons of other stuff just by buying that one little thing. Kind of like the Collector's Edition, people just sold the dragon, Kunivan.
Right. You know, Second Life, I don't know if you guys have ever played that, but Second Life is kind of like that, where they you can actually go in a menu in Second Life and purchase more of the in-game dollars for real money, like an ATM machine, right there with your credit card in the game. And
that's a totally different matter, though, because you can actually make money in that game, so that's different.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's just exactly what's that game does is what is against the terms of service in Guild Wars. So
gonna be cool to
but
see.
But maybe
that
they'll
store.
Do things like you could buy the collector's edition and add that key to your account, and you can have the aura or whatever. I could see things like that.
Yeah, that could be helpful.
See, I hope they just with the Nightfall special edition. I just hope it's as soon as the box edition, because I know I skipped out on the factions collector's edition because I didn't want to wait. I'm impatient.
Yeah, I think they missed out on some big bucks by postponing that collector's edition.
Mm. They would have got my dollar if it would have been the day of.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for them to make available that I could purchase, like, transferring characters from my second account to my primary, or even combining the two or whatever, because there's no need for me to have two accounts anymore with the way that you can expand your slots. What, you have like 20 characters now, right?
26, I think it is.
26, yeah. That's kind of a lot.
Yeah. Like me and my friends joked, we're like, if it's like this now, you can make like three of every character profession. Like, that's insane.
Just in case one day you want to be blonde and the next day brunette.
Yeah. Well, see, actually, you bring that up, but they've actually talked about hairstylists in the game also, and, like, face changers and, you know, this kind of stuff being available in the store. But I don't think that would be a good idea at all, because what's the whole purpose of, I mean, you can't do that in real life, you know? I mean, you can change your hair color, but you can't change your face.
Well, sure you can. You can go to the store and purchase your plastic surgery, exactly, and
it would have to cost like
away you go.
200k and 30 ecto or something.
No, I think that's a stupid idea.
Yeah.
Like, although something like that in-game would be kind of cool, where you pay in-game money to do something like that. Like maybe dye your hair or something. Not as crazy as plastic surgery on your character, but
yeah, I think hair wouldn't be too drastic of a thing.
Well, I have a few emails, if we want to go through them real quick. There's only a few that I wanted to actually read. I think four, so it shouldn't be too many. One of them I just wanted to read the PS. I'll read the whole email, but the PS is funny. Okay, actually, most of these aren't even questions, so they're not. We don't really have to answer too much on them. But this first one, he says, "Hello, Sean. First, I wanted to say that I just found your podcast, and I think they're awesome. Listening to all the shows slowly but surely, and I found a lot of very good information. I'm new to Guild Wars, and I've never bought Prophecies, but I might be doing that shortly, or I'm going to wait for Nightfall." The P.S. here, I had to read this. I just had to. He says, "P.S. Is Lady Senea single? Gotta love a woman into gaming."
I would say refer to the frequently asked questions on guildcast.com, which was written by Sean.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I get this every once in a while, and I just think it's funny. And hence the reason it's on the frequently asked questions. But I got another one. This one is actually pretty long, but he goes into some depth about some things. I don't know if I'm going to read this whole thing. Okay. "My in-game name is Ramiel Throne, and I've been listening to your show for a couple of weeks now, and I just wanted to compliment you on such a solid, informative podcast. My experience with these kinds of shows have been somewhat mixed, if I were to be diplomatic, but Guildcast's dedication to not only the mechanics of the game, but also the culture that has bloomed around it, really puts your show in a league of its own. So I just wanted to read that to toot my own horn there. But no, he. Let's see. He later on he talks about. Well, he actually gives you a compliment. He's Solero. He says, "I've never written into a show like this before, but I felt compelled to after just having listened to your recent Ranger special you did with Prince Solero. I've played a Ranger and variations of the class almost exclusively since the game launched. I've also found that their versatility and great ability to solo the game so much more appealing to some of the more specialized professions. In the show, you guys mentioned how difficult it can be to party as a Ranger, given the poor attitudes of most players. Although partying with strangers has always been of little appeal to me in most online games, it can be quite disparaging to be treated as the unwanted bastard child, when in truth, your profession can prove far more useful than many of the more popular classes. I really appreciated Prince Solero's comments on the nature of the Ranger and its importance to the game, and the attitude he expressed with regards to the leadership of guilds, as well as the importance of realizing that this is still a game, a pastime to be enjoyed." So, you got a little shout-out there, Solero.
Well, kind of makes me smile a little bit, I won't lie. But that's, I've always, like, Rangers, to me, are just that. It really is looked down upon, but then the people who really know the game, like him, really look up on the Ranger. And I've actually been getting a lot of feedback, even on that one show. Like, I've had maybe 5 or 6 whispers, like, either thanks for kind of bolstering the Ranger up, thanks for making me vindicated as being a Ranger already, or you made me get out my Ranger, or you made me start one. And it's really kind of cool to kind of get all those different aspects of the game and get people saying they listened to it and I actually said something worthwhile about anything. It's kind of cool that way. So
yeah, and I've actually heard the same. You know, a lot of people have told me that that was a good show and they really liked that show. Later on in that email, he says, I'll just read this last line. He says, he talks about his guild that he made with, and it's in an Australian guild, and it's mostly friends from Melbourne. And he says, "Some members have begun to bicker and lose sight of why we play, and Solero's comments on the importance of fun and relaxed leadership were exactly what I needed to hear." So, that's pretty cool. I thought I'd read that email, though, because it's a really intelligent, you know, well-spoken email, so.
Well, that's what I hope to bring, like, there's a lot of PvP aspects where people get really, really serious, and I'm all about strategy, and I'm all about looking at that, but when you get to the point where you're getting mad and quitting teams over somebody doing a little something wrong, or you're leaving guilds over fights that you've had with other guildmates, it's kind of, I don't know, I guess I just kind of run my guild that way. It's like, if you want to have fun, if you want to try, I'm not going to stop you. Like, you're going to be with us. And the same thing with builds. Everybody's like, what skills do you want me to run? I'm like, can you run an RC prot? They're like, yeah, but what specific skills? I'm like, run it how you run it. Like, you're going to be the one playing, you're going to be the one doing your build. I can't do that. If you can do your job and do it well, then by all means. People always think you have to follow one specific build, and that's not the case. There's been a lot of experimentation and a lot of thought going into new builds. Like, it's not like the first day you saw a Blood Spike team and now you see them every which way. It's, you gotta experiment, you gotta have fun with the game to really get into it. A lot of people don't see that.
Yeah. And then we got one that was really good. It was not an email, but it was posted on the forums. Did you saw it, right?
Which one?
Where he gave this really nice review for us.
Oh, yeah.
Which one? The one that said I sounded like Christian Slater?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, oh. It's like, I don't know whether to take that as a hit or not, but thanks, kind of. I don't know if I really want to be sounding like Christian Slater in anything, but I guess you guys are doomed to hear that now a little more often.
So this guy's name is Artful Dodger, and he said, I just want to say that, as an avid listener, I want to express my appreciation. I'm not a gamer, and not particularly great at the game yet. Being in my 40s, I haven't had the advantage of a quick eye and eye training on a PlayStation like most of you all. But I have waited for a game worth my time, and Guild Wars is it. I've played for about 6 months now, and I have 4 level 20s and a pile of loot thanks to Guildcast. What I want to say is, you guys are as entertaining as the game is most of the time. I listen to an episode each day and then spend an hour or so trying something mentioned. It really works for a complete gaming noob to become proficient at Guild Wars by listening and applying the show. And he says, Sean, you have an entirely listenable voice and manner. Love your sardonic humor too. You are the anchor. Don't burn out, man. Get your sleep. And then, of course, he tells Solero that he sounds like Christian Slater, but your content rocks.
I try, yes.
And then he told me, your oratory on the Canton refugees in episode 23 deserves an Oscar, and I can just imagine your tears splashing on the keyboard. By the way, we want more bloopers. Keep up the good work, please. Thank you.
Yeah, you can look for more bloopers at the end of this show, for sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I know a couple of the ones you're going to use.
I mean, this email kind of, or this, not email, this post kind of just summed up everything, you know? It was really nice. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I did too. Of course, because it's praising us.
And, you know, I mean, I get whispers pretty often where somebody just says, hi, you don't know me, but I listen to the show and I really like it. And I might just reply, thanks, I appreciate it, and not say anything else, but because I'm busy. But, you know, really do appreciate it. It's really nice.
There, a lot of people will message me, too, and it's exactly like you said, where they'll say, they'll say they like the show or this or that, and I'll reply with a thanks or, you know, a little smiley afterwards or something like that, because that's all I have time to do between... you know, healing people or, you know, something like that, where it's really, you know, I don't want to be rude and ignore them, but I also don't want to be rude and let the people in my party die. So I throw something out there real quick, but I'm of the same thought that you are, where it's, I want to let those people know that I really do appreciate that stuff. I really do appreciate that they like the show and that they listen and they enjoy it. And, I just don't get the chance to really say that enough, you know, especially in game. I mean, I can say it in email, you know, all day, but in game, it's just really hard.
Oh, and speaking of saying things, I was checking back on the website, and I was looking down the list, and I saw that somebody had commented something about episode 26, and I wanted to get a chance to say to Sir Griswold, I believe it was, who made the comment.
What's episode 26?
The one I did, the Ranger one. He asked, what is Wild Prince Solero's guild? I want to join because I would like to learn how to PvP. If message me in game if you want to learn anything, if you want to talk to me, we'll do a Heroes of Sun or whatever. Just if anybody wants to go HA with me or whatever, just message me. I'll try to see what I can do, like, between the guild and whatever, but I really wouldn't like to do a lot of that, get a lot of people together and have fun with it. Seems like it'd be really cool to just...
Yeah, it's always nice when you get a lot of people together.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we could just flood the Hall of Heroes and one of us get in. Just get, like, 10 teams together. Just go for it.
What are we doing again? Oh, yeah.
You were asleep. I got a new pet Murloc. Are we live again? The teleprompter's broken, though. I don't know what to say.
You know that I myself talk a lot, nonstop.
Did you say you talk a lot, or you talk nonstop, or something like that? I haven't noticed, you know? He said one of me was plenty enough.
Bloopers for the win.